Hello, and welcome to Another Dead Pixel. This is a podcast about video games, entertainment, anime, life, a little bit of everything in between. I'm your host, as always, Joe, and with me, the gentleman who's living in a van down by the river, or more like the dungeon in his family member's basement. Nick, how you doing?
Doing okay. Been better. Yeah. Living in a van down by the river. Anyway, so dadgummit, of course I'd kick my camera. So I have a nice little gap between leases, so I'm just hanging out at my parents' until the new lease kicks in. So I have a story. I was playing basketball yesterday. And then I went up to get a rebound, and the ball hit my hands sort of oddly, because I was competing for the rebound, and I broke my finger sort of. Not like a break. I thought it might be broken, but they did an x-ray and it's not actually broken, but at least not the bone. There's no bones that are broken, but the tendon might be broken. So I have to keep that joint straight for the time being, and then I have to go see a orthopedic surgeon to see if any surgery is needed. So that sucks. But it's on my right hand, which really sucks because I'm right-handed. But it's on my ring finger, which, I mean, it's used pretty often, but not as often as the thumb, forefinger, and middle finger. So, anyway, I'm just having a grand old time. Grand old time, Joe. How are you? How's your life?
Doing all right. Been really busy. But, I mean, I guess this is the universe's way of punishing you for trying to be young again. And since this happened at work, like during your lunch break, is this your basketball area on work grounds? Because can you claim like workman's comp or like,
no. they make you sign a waiver so that if you get murdered by anything there, then you're on your own. And I wouldn't want to do that anyway because they would get pissed if I sued them or something, and then I wouldn't be able to play basketball work anymore.
Win, you don't have to go to work there, period, again. I mean, it's the ultimate win for you, and you won't have to see them, so there's no
I don't think all lawsuits work that way. I think that I would win some money, like probably like $1,000, and then
$8,000 in legal bills, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't want to burn that bridge over a little thing like this. But, yeah, so I was kind of pissed about that, kind of thinking about, you know, whenever this does heal, am I going to be, like, gun-shy? Am I going to need to be more careful? I don't know. It's just sort of a big old irritation, but what can
just
you do?
Switch to soccer. There you go. You know, those famous Texan soccer players.
Yeah, they don't really have a soccer field at work, so I don't know about all that. But I don't know. I've been playing basketball. I mean, I've played it a lot through my life, but I haven't been playing it very much until recently. So I'm kind of like, well, you know, is this going to be a thing that happens just every, like, 2 months or 3 months? Or is this, like, a thing that's really only going to happen once every, you know, 5 years? Or something. I don't know, but I did jam my pinky finger on the other hand, in a game, but didn't really notice until after the game, and it healed on its own. So, but like, I think because of the rebound, because of the ball coming down and me going up, and kind of the force of that caused more violent sort of encounter with my finger. So I don't know. I'm just sort of thinking about what my life is going to be like going forward, Joe.
Well, the important
So, yeah.
thing is, did you make the basket?
Was a rebound, so the ball was coming off of the basket, but I had not, but the other guy had shot it.
Okay,
I did not
I thought you were covering
secure
for a
the rebound.
teammate. Okay. So it
No,
was for nothing. Okay.
I did not secure the rebound properly. It went out of bounds, but if I had not jammed my finger on the ball, I probably would have got it. But I did finish the game anyway, which people have asked me about, and I was like, "Yeah, I finished the game." So, anyway, but yeah. So, yeah, it's just a lot of suck right now. Life sort of sucks. I was talking to you about the before the podcast. The move was a cluster F. Thankfully my dad helped me with that, or else I probably wouldn't have been able to get it done in time. I don't know, I probably would have to pay like another $100 or whatever and
I
a
warned
day
you
more
like
rent.
months ago that no matter what, you're never going to have enough time, and it's always going to
I
be
know,
like.
I told you that I know that. And yeah, so yeah, so that was down to the wire. I got it done in time, but it was just moving all evening or afternoon and evening Friday, and then waking up super early and moving all day for about 11 hours on Saturday, getting it all moved, and just being dog tired the rest of Saturday and Sunday not doing anything. So yeah, it's been a lot. I haven't done much. Really in the way of anything at all. Gone to work a little bit, but yeah.
Well, I mean, luckily you don't need that ring finger to play video games, so you'll be set.
Thankfully, yeah, thankfully.
it'd be a little harder if it was the index or thumb, but you can. Worst
Yeah, it
case,
would
you
suck. Yeah.
just take that cigar cutter, make it work.
Just
But
get rid of
so no, so we've been busy on our end. My eldest, we're getting ready for birthday stuff, so that's it, getting friends and family coming over, and that'll be good. Yeah,
good.
so outside of that, just also tired, but lots of prep work and some other things going on. Luckily, have been able to get some gaming going, so that's been awesome. But all right, let's. There's not a lot of news that we found to be overly exciting, but we got a few things, so I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, so I don't have anything pulled up until right now. So we can talk about so BlizzCon 2024 has been canceled. This is on the heels of them also canceling their, what was it, their survival game? Yeah, survival game earlier this year, which I didn't know about, but I don't really follow Blizzard stuff that much. In general, but yeah, BlizzCon, I don't know, before we started the podcast I wasn't really thinking about it, but now that I'm thinking about it, like, there's a kind of a BlizzCon's kind of gone down, I think, over the past couple of years. I don't really follow Blizzard that much, but every time BlizzCon would happen, the news that I would see would be kind of just disappointment in the air, as opposed to, kind of like, oh, that was cool, or oh, that's good, mixed with some disappointment. Yeah, so maybe it's kind of a good thing. I don't know. I think Microsoft is kind of since they bought Blizzard, is kind of going like, yeah, you don't need to be doing all that stuff over there. You need to be focusing on games. I don't know if it's a good thing yet or not, but probably for the best right now. That seems to be the way the industry is going.
I mean, they haven't really brought a lot to the table that's w like worth having a convention anymore. And I mean, with a lot of their, current things going out, they stopped the Overwatch League the, you know, that's kind of like the big hit. You know, like, yeah, they haven't been turning the profit. They've been screwing up left and right with Overwatch 2, the whole storyline and this, that, the other thing. So it's not surprising. Why would you spend a bunch of money holding a convention? You're not going to make that money back. You're not going to, if you have nothing to show to be, to really add for hype or pre-orders. And you, like you've been mentioning, there's the key to some of that stuff has been always, the key takeaways have been stuff like when they tried making, like, they're like, yeah, we're doing a mobile game or something like that. And, you know, people, doing their hot takes, or I forget what that year that there was a particular guy who pretended like he was going to ask a certain question, switched it up, and it was like, oh, he got a zinger in on them, and it was like for a hot week, it was like everyone was talking about
don't you guys have phones?
Yeah,
yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, stuff that like was that.
Diablo, that's like a Diablo Immortal or whatever, the mobile Diablo game that nobody. I had to be a gamer. I use a gamerism, but nobody asked for, and nobody really wanted. Instead of, they released that instead of Diablo 4. Yeah.
And the other, you know, it's like the fact that they're, you know, one of the most exciting things that people were happy about was a Diablo 2 remake. I mean,
yeah.
You can kind of see, you know, the writing on the wall. So it's, not a huge loss. One less, like, convention out there, you know.
I mean, like, when did Overwatch 1 come out? 2014? 2013?
I don't know, actually, because I didn't actually get into Overwatch until quite a while later.
I feel like it was, like, around that time. I just feel like they haven't made anything really innovative, different.
2016. Since... May of
2016. 2016, okay. So I was thinking, like, it seems like about a 20-year period... Because that was the mid-late 90s, and they're popping off with Diablo 2 and StarCraft 2, and then Warcraft, you know, 1 and 2, I guess, like Warcraft 2 and then Warcraft 3, Dota, which they didn't really make, I guess, but then WoW, and Overwatch. And since, you know, so there's like a kind of like a 15, 20-ish, I guess closer to 20 year period where Blizzard was really doing a lot of great stuff, and I think they're just not really the same company anymore. They're not really, obviously a lot of people have left, and I'm kind of seeing a pattern here where it's just not really, the stuff they're making is not really con worthy. I think Microsoft is going to turn them into a niche studio where they make the things that they make, and then that's pretty much it.
I mean, for what it's worth, I kind of like the fact that they did try to swing for the fences with the Overwatch League. The first season I watched actually quite a bit, and a lot of criticism was like, it's hard to watch because as fast paced it is compared to something like a Dota or a LoL where you can just have that overview look. And I was like, yeah, but if you play the games, it's actually not as difficult. And the commentary, like, was pretty decent for, you know, it's surprisingly good, I guess. You know, I couldn't imagine doing any better. And I felt that they did a pretty solid job. You know, afterwards, though, it was kind of hard to keep up with it a while. And I don't know, it's just they eventually just, you know, started throwing new characters in. And I just eventually dipped out because the gameplay... for me, it was stale. I'd come back for the special seasonal events. Those were fun because they weren't the normal game. And I always wanted the story content. And then, of course, Overwatch 2 promising story content that didn't deliver. And that it became just that whole Fallout nightmare. Like, I just personally had stopped caring. Which was a shame because I actually, at one point, I did care quite a bit. But, you know, between the... loot drops and all that stuff, and it was, you know, that was also peak you know, criticism for the whole loot drops or loot boxes in general through all games. And once they lost the way to leverage that kind of money, you know, and a lot of, you know, it's like I felt that kind of put a big halt to the revenue stream for Blizzard, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, like the character design for for Overwatch. Just amazing. Like I would play an RPG or like an action RPG with any one of those characters as the star, or pretty much any one of those characters as the star, because they're so good, you know. But the gameplay was never really, I mean, it was cool, but it just wasn't for me. But yeah, anyway, so rest in peace, BlizzCon for 2024. Maybe it'll come back. I kind of don't think so, though. I kind of think this is probably the end of that type of Blizzard. I think that things are just going to be different from now on.
Yeah. All right. You know, if you ever have the urge to maybe play like the original, StarCraft or anything like that, Warcraft, you might be able to pick it up on an emulator. And that's something that Apple has finally, after forever, they finally let down the walls and are letting people, actually have emulators on their shops. Didn't know if you knew too much about this, or because I'm not an Apple user, but I know you are.
No, I didn't know about this. I'm kind of wondering in what context these are just like apps.
So
that, because there's emulators on Android, right? That work pretty well. You know, you
so
just have them on the Android.
It's exactly that. So if you want to be able to play your legally your dumped copy of Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
Of course.
You want to make a digital backup to carry with you on your phone. Or somehow you procure the emulating the ROMs from somewhere. You can just go ahead and load that up to now you can now access them on your iPhone. That's been a big deal, because some of these emulators will actually let you upload your save data to iCloud. And therefore, as you progress, as you get a new phone, you can then just access that same information, which is kind of a neat thing. The reasoning behind all this is more or less because the whole EU, starting to the I believe it's because the sideloading restrictions that Apple has had for so long, they're trying to take that down, and so because now it's like, well, let's, kind of get ahead of the curve. It's not so much, let's get a piece of this, old school gaming action. But hey.
Super Nintendo emulator action.
You can probably play some good PS1 games on there.
You could probably play on a iPhone 15 Pro Max or whatever. I wouldn't be surprised if you could play PS2 games. At least not too surprised. Maybe some like Persona 4. You could probably play that. Maybe even more, because the games that come out on iPhone natively, I mean, like Genshin Impact can be played on an iPhone. It's pretty much made for that, and it runs really well. And maybe they're doing different things. Maybe it would have to work differently. Maybe an emulator needs more raw power. I could see how you could play. You have to up to PS2. PS3 might be getting pretty dicey.
PS3 emulation is rough in general, but also because of the cell processor. So that's why it's, you can probably, rumor has it that, or at least last time I heard, people are trying to get like Dolphin, the GameCube emulator to work and stuff like that. It'll be, welcome to, I don't know.
I mean,
2000 and the 2000 with Android or something like that. I feel like the we've had emulation on Android forever, so finally having some parity.
But now that it's on Apple, it'll actually be good.
Emulation's it's the same damn process, man. It's like that's the thing. I know you got that new thing called that USB-C. I know it's wild.
It's pretty nice. It's cool when everything does charge off the same thing. That's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. It I am interested to see. I could never really get emulation running easily and conveniently. Whenever I had an Android, I think I played with it for a little bit. Try to get some like, I try to get like a PS, like a PlayStation 1 emulator or something going. And I kind of threw my hands up after. I was like, well, like, what am I really doing here? So anybody that can do that a little bit easier, which I don't know if it'll be any easier on an Apple device. I kind of doubt it, but I don't know. I just don't understand why we have to turn to emulators, why we have to turn to third-party emulators.
Yeah, I mean
Shouldn't
it.
Nintendo, shouldn't Sony have this stuff? It's like, these are old ass games. They're not even really selling anymore. Make the, like if somebody can do this for literally for free, like someone is literally taking their own time and money to set up a server and do all this stuff for free, put it out on the internet for free. Can't you pay like one dumb engineer to set some things up and then charge like, penny arcade type prices, like $1 or whatever? I just don't understand why it's anyway. That's kind of a different topic, but
Yeah, well,
wanted to
Nintendo's
rant about it.
always been bad about rehashing their old stuff. I mean, we didn't talk about it, but the fact that the Wii U and the 3DS shop is now officially closed, so you can't get access to any of that stuff, anymore. But at this, some would argue just buy yourself a Wii U and then just, hack it yourself with homebrew and an external hard drive and you're good to go. You can have the library that you want.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest argument in favor of emulation and in favor of saying F you to those companies, because, like I just said, literally hobbyists do this for free and at their own expense, on like a personal budget. And it's like, it's all there, and you're just not letting us have access to those things. So I would really like someone to explain, like someone from those companies who really knows, and I guess they have to worry about giving away trade secrets. I would even sign an NDA to just understand, someone just sit me down and explain, this is why we can't do that, because of all of these things and all the money and all that. Just explain it to me. And then I would sign an NDA, and then every time this came up on our podcast, I would just be like, Joe, okay, yeah. I don't know. That's crazy. That's crazy. Weird. Weird emulation stuff. Weird. And I just wouldn't say anything. But at least I would know for my own personal satisfaction.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the old Japanese companies are very archaic with their mentality, and yeah, they don't necessarily want to go through the effort to resurrect some of their back catalog or go through the hoops to jump through for licensing, and some of the old games and code are dead, so lost to time, and no one wants to backwards engineer. I mean, a lot of people will or already have to a certain extent. But yeah, it's a lot of people are like, hey, if you give me a Nintendo Switch and let me pay like you mentioned, penny arcade prices, $1 to rebuy, people have proof that they've bought things on the Wii shop. And then when from the Wii, I believe from the Wii to the Wii U, you were able to pay a transfer license cost. And I didn't own the Wii U, so it didn't matter to me. But you can pay a small price to, have that license carry over, and then you can play it on the Wii U. If you could do something like that forever, for each Nintendo system, people would keep on transferring their license, just chucking a few more bucks, and then those who never heard of or haven't had a chance to legally play an old game, like, hey, what's the original Metroid like? They would go ahead and buy it for 5, 10 bucks, probably even up to 20. I mean, it's a little rip off, but
I
people
mean,
would.
yeah.
And
Yeah,
then.
like, I mean, yeah, even ripoff prices, just have it there, have it available, have it possible to go back and play those old games. I mean, they're kind of doing that now, but I just, you look at Steam and it's like this, and PC games in general, and I can play a game that was released on Steam, 15 years ago. I can just download it on Steam. You know, it's
And
like.
then you have also, we didn't bring this up, but convincingly, Xbox. They're reassembling a team for talking about backwards compatibility for their next system. So they're actually having people look at it, and trying to figure a solution so that when their next console comes out, they'll already have systems in place to be able to play, older games. Because, they did that for a really big part of their library, from Xbox to 360 to Xbox One, all capable, on the series. And that's great. Now they're looking to the future to be able to still be able to carry those games over and somehow be able to play them. Granted, I believe that it's going to be because they're talking about doing a handheld or somehow having a system, they were talking about somehow getting Xbox in a, a smaller form factor. So therefore, if they're pulling something like a Switch, or a Steam Deck, as it were, they want that, they want your titles to be able to transfer into the Xbox ecosystem. Because Phil Spencer talked about having like a Legion Go or something like that, being like, hey, this isn't, this could be an Xbox. So yeah, you might have to look at, the rumor of them switching from AMD to NVIDIA. That would be a different architecture, so they couldn't, they'd have to do a workaround of some sort. It wouldn't be just a straight port, you're having to communicate differently. But hey, good on Microsoft for trying to get ahead of this and not just it's like if they just announce it and then someone brought up the question and be like, we have nothing in plan right now and we're not doing anything about that, then people would be upset. But they're already trying to get on everyone's good side. So yeah, that's actually pretty smart on their behalf. We'll see how that
If they can solve it before anybody else, then they have a chance to make good money probably, and at least win the hearts and minds of consumers. But yeah, it's well, I'm glad to see emulation on Apple. I'm gonna look into that whenever. I guess it's already out, so I need to download whatever emulator is already on there, and to maybe see if I can play something kind of cool for the next cast or something. Try it out.
Usually, when I do, like, all I ever do is go back to like Super Nintendo RPGs. That's almost always my 90% thing. That it doesn't take a lot of quick responses. It's time consuming, but it's also great to be able to pick up and put down at any time. That is usually my go-to.
Safest. Yeah, it's the funnest, most safest, or like most surefire, likely to work, of all those emulated games. Yeah, that's true.
Just be careful if you're doing a pirated version of Earthbound. That ending won't work for you. But yeah, all right. And then the last bit of news we have, you had a little information on Stellar Blade.
Oh yeah, so there's a racial epithet that it wasn't even the actual word. It was a loose, unintentional reference to the word that showed up, I guess, in the demo. I don't know how they found it, but basically they found it and it's being patched out as of day one for Stellar Blade. The actual thing is, you can find it online, but it's a neon yellow sign that says R.
R shop, before, I believe. Underneath it says shop.
Yeah, it says R, and then below that it says shop, which doesn't, I mean, maybe that means something in game, but whatever. And then next to that, so to the left of that, is the word hard. So but it's in graffiti. So it's two different types of writing, more or less, you know, like a writing on a wall versus a sign. It's all in game, but anyway, it looks different. But when you see it, you see the term hard R, which is a reference to something. And I keep going back and forth on whether I think that this was truly an accident. Obviously, the company didn't put that in, but if it was truly an accident, or if it was somebody's joke, or if it was on purpose at all.
So all I know is the R shop has an arrow on the wall pointing, and underneath it, it says open in neon as well. So, like, at worst, I think at worst, it's going to be a, like, two teams, one who did, like, the actual building, and then someone else, some intern or something like that, having to do just, texture detailing, and saw the sign and be like, this would be funny if I could get away with this, and, like, just something stupid. I don't think it was meant as anything malicious. They threw graffiti on there, and that's what the word they chose was hard. But they are switching it to crime, so...
Primer. I think that your theory of the two teams, or two designers that are not working on it at the same time, is pretty good. Dude, you gotta be taking... I mean, you're taking your career in your hands if you see the R shop there and you decide to put R in, or you decide to put hard in front of it. Like, I just feel like you're just, if somebody figures out that you did that, even if they're not totally sure that it was an accident, you could get fired. You could be like, well, we can't be totally sure, but we can be sure enough. You're gone, buddy. I just don't, that's another reason why I'm like, yeah, it's probably unintentional, but this is crazy.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing to have done if it was intentional, but it's crazy that if it's unintentional, just a happenstance. It's a Korean developer. The term, hard R, or the meaning of it, is not something that's really commonplace, common knowledge, in culture there. Having lived there and taught there for a long time, like, it's most definitely not part of their repertoire. You would get
American, maybe English speaking world. Yeah.
I mean, at best, you'd get certain curse words. Like, you'd say, like F or something, but that's because their TV and movies were more or less uncensored. And so some kid would, teaching English, some kid would drop a pencil or something like that and yell out, F, and all you do is you just ignore them, don't get play them any mind. And then they didn't get a rise out of you. So, but through movie context, you're watching like Die Hard or something like that. They don't have that understanding of like what is really bad, or like you'll hear Eminem on the radio in a grocery store and you're like, wow, okay. Completely not even like... caring. It's really funny because it's just like, it doesn't mean anything to them as a whole. It was kind of a culture shock to be able like, you can just,
Turn on
the TV. You can turn on the TV and just watch like Dirty Harry, like uncut, just like him blowing away people, and just there's a topless scene. Okay, it's just like daytime TV. But it was you're in control of the TV. Parents don't want them to watch the movie Alien. Then they can just turn off the TV. It's on them.
It's their own fault.
So, but they are fixing it. It was pointed out, and good on them for fixing it. I honestly think it's probably just a crazy accident. But at the same time, at worst, I think honestly, it's just probably some intern or something like that, or someone who having to do busy work and just thought it like it's their idea of a stupid joke. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know how much texture. I don't know how much graffiti like overlaps like throughout the game. Like we only have like 10 pieces of graffiti and we're just going to use it everywhere. You know, but the I know I remember in Digital Foundry has a good video talking about the graphics, and they bring up the reference that Eidos, you know, the guys who made like the reboot of Tomb Raider and Deus Ex Human Revolution, you know, it's like since that studios no longer exist, but it's like yeah, so like is it, you know, like they point out that Eidos is written everywhere. Must be a homage, right? Yeah, just some sort of homage to them, right? So it's just a, I think it's just a funny coincidence because they have no relation, to the best of my knowledge, to that old studio. But it is weird that it's just, it's like, it showed a piece of a door with a metal stamp of their, you know, the name. Yeah. So, anyways, that's, you know, but the other news for the day one patch is, you said they're doing the new game plus, right?
So yeah, I think you were telling me that. But so yeah, but you were saying that new game plus is oh, maybe I did read that out loud to you. Yeah, so it's going to be in the day one patch, and then you were saying that you thought it was a good it was good to have that, you know, immediately.
Yeah, you with games, I was telling you like before we, you know, started recording, games like Spider-Man. I platinum Spider-Man, had a great time with it. New Game Plus did not come out right away, and because of that, I'm like, I'm not getting back into it anymore. I've been forever removed from it. I don't feel like, I mean, it's cool that I get all my gadgets and all my move sets, but I kind of forgot what that set was. I have to then relearn all that, and yeah. Even though, and especially if they have a harder difficulty that a lot of times will unlock with like these New Game Pluses, I'm like, yeah, sure, I would love to jump into harder difficulty if I'm really into it, but not if I'm going to have to relearn all my stuff from scratch. Then I'm going to play it on a different and easier setting, learn all my moveset, then replay it again. Like, I'm like, that just seems way too much work. So you kind of lose that momentum with a skill-based game or a game that has a kind of a leveling system like that, like Spider-Man, with unlocking new gadgets, new combat skills, and then you eventually learn what flow works best for you. You know, I like to do this set of combos. This is how I handle these situations. But when you step away from that for too long, then you kind of forget it. So to have a game like this where you're going to, you know, if you're going to play it enough to play a new game plus, if you're actually interested, then yes, most definitely have it in right away, because that way you're caught up in your own momentum of playing. Something more like Alan Wake, you know, it stinks that it came out a little later for the New Game Plus, but that one, unlike a lot of the other New Game Pluses that don't add anything new story-wise other than a harder difficulty, you know, Alan Wake at least said, hey, we're going to add new story stuff. So that actually kind of was cool. It really gave you a reason to come back in. Plus, it other than just being the enemies being a little more difficult and you being a little less spongy, you know, that was the only difficulty bump there was. There wasn't a really big skill set for that game. It's just like you still aim, you still shoot, you still have, but now you understand how some of the weapons work and what works best for you. So that one was a little more forgiving and not as necessary to be immediate. But this, hands down, in fact, yeah, I was looking at this game really hard. I was like, yeah, I kind of really want to get this game. I've been interested in it for quite some time. It looks awesome. The fact that it's coming up from a new studio, was it Shift Up or is it Upshift? The fact that I just forgot that. I think it's Shift bad. Up. Yeah.
The bad reporter.
Yeah. Well, good thing I never claimed to be. But yeah, it's Shift Up. The fact that they're, you know, they're new to this. Up. Yeah.
Sorry. I had it.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Oh, yes.
It's awesome that, you know, they're able to come out with a you know, a game that looks and seems to play really solid. They're, you know, it officially drops for us as we're recording tomorrow. And mm-hmm. I was like, man, I really want to play this game, but on my PlayStation, there's a wicked sale going on, and I can buy a handful of other games for the same price as Stellar Blade. And in fact, I have like this, you know, there's a bunch of new DLC. It's been a while since I played Beat Saber. There's a handful of DLC stuff from there. There's a new Synth Rider 80s music pack for that. I mean, heck, the Nier is on sale, both Automata and Replicant. And Nier Automata was like $17. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just probably buy this and just make do with that. You know, I've been playing it from the library. But then you were kind enough to drop me a PlayStation, you know, copy for my birthday, early birthday gift. So I appreciate it. That is awesome of you. And I will most definitely be reporting back in on this game. I'll probably have to, I can't guarantee, I can promise you I'll play through the game. I can't promise you if I'll do the new game plus. It depends if what they offer for me. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. And I was, like I said, I was looking at him like, dude, $70 is a big ask. But, you know, at the same, like I said, do I go with a bunch of other things or do I go with one brand new shiny thing? No, I have the best of both worlds. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad I could do that for you. I conspired with your wife to see what you wanted for your birthday. And which is not for a little while, it's coming up, but it's not right now. And she was like, "Well, he wants Stellar Blade, but he wants the extra goodies that come with the pre-order. So that's kind of got to get bought right now." And I was like, "Okay, well." So I jumped on that. So that's good, but. Yeah, so I hope it's good. The reviews, Video Games Chronicle gave it 4 out of 5 stars, and then they're saying what a lot of other people are saying too, that it's mechanically, I think that's the word they use. Anyway, it's a good playing game. It's a stylish game or mechanically really good. So that's cool. That's really all that we really want from it was those two things, and then. You know, we'll see for ourselves how good it is and report back. Because I will also be playing it.
Because that's one of the beauties of the digital copy is the fact that you can go ahead and have a friend, one friend share your account and you can both play. The fact is, though, this game, it's funny because I had mentioned it to him. Like, I had recently saw some reviews go up and I saw that Digital Foundry tech specs talking about it and stuff. I'm like, yep. I'm like, this is really cool. Blah, blah. I mentioned it. I'm like, yeah, but it's either that or I can get a bunch of these other things. And then she thought she was being sneaky, but like she was texting away. I'm like, that's really odd. But also she has I have a very bad history with her when it comes with, surprises and gifts. So she likes to think she's being sneaky. And then I stumble upon said gift, and then she yells at me for it. It's not my fault you left the packing slip on the table. Like, the packing slip's on the kitchen table, and I'm like, oh, this packing slip. And like, you weren't supposed to see that. I'm like, well, sorry. When we were dating, it's like happened to look at her DVD shelf. I'm like, oh, you have this DVD. You weren't supposed to look there. I'm like, well, sorry. And then she's like, you always do this. I'm like, I always accidentally find it. It's not like I'm rummaging through your drawers. I'm like, I am literally just finding it in the open.
I didn't break the lock on your diary.
It's just like, it happened like 4 or 5 times. And I was like, so the moment I see her just texting away, I'm like, so what's up? She's like, yeah, I'm just messaging my sister, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. There you are. I'm like, I thought she was messaging my other friend because I'm like, that seemed like something. Yeah. It surprised me it came from you. I'm like, okay. But at the same time, I'm just like, I'm not even going to poke or prod anymore. I'm just going to like stay completely. So she didn't. Yeah. I was just like, I'm going to let this be a surprise and let her have this one. Like,
yeah, so close to my birthday. Interesting.
It was just funny.
Like those, it's like It's like that. It's that Futurama, you know, like you know, those eyes that narrow, 100%.
But yeah, it was just funny. Like I can't poker prod. I can't even if like it's like that's the problem is like, oh
No.
wait, I like there's an Amazon gift coming. Oh, like the whatever it is being delivered. I'm like, huh, what's this? It's like you're not supposed to look. I'm like, well, I guess I shouldn't have my Amazon notifications. How should I? But yes, that is the if anyone else ever has those kind of troubles, you can relate. But that's. Apparently, I'm always accused of, it's my fault for accidentally finding out. So,
Yeah.
gouge out my eyes, wear your muffs all the time, just stay in the dark through birthdays and holidays. Granted, if it weren't for her, I probably wouldn't celebrate my birthday. So, I'm grateful.
You just drink a little more.
It's
Okay.
funny because it's
Well,
true.
it's yeah. Well, let's hope it's good. Let's hope it doesn't suck balls. If it does suck balls, then you don't have to play it. Don't worry about it. Maybe you can get a refund or something like that. Spend that money somewhere else. But
Well,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, it'll be good, a good single player story. But then when we do get to play together again, we'll be doing hopefully more Helldivers because that's been pretty
Yeah.
fun. So, all right. Well, since we've been playing, talk about what we've been playing. I'll kick us off with, we've been doing a little more Helldivers. That was good. They nail the theme, and it's just like the feel of that game is just so good. We're doing it as a two-man squad, and every now and then somehow we get thrown in with other people or people jump in, and I'm like, you are supposed to set it to private. This
I
person
didn't know that the
obviously has
first
way
time.
more game time than us. Like dropping the orbital stuff and just turrets galore. Like this guy's
Did
well
show
more
us some
prepared.
stuff. Yeah, that guy kind of knew a little bit more, but he's also kind of an idiot. He kind of did some weird stuff that I was like, okay, that doesn't really make sense why you're doing that. But he did have, so he had more game time, but not more IQ, in my opinion. But yeah, so we did a little bit more. I got my PlayStation set up in here, but I'm not really super confident in the internet to be able to run Helldivers right now. There's a hard line, but I've got to negotiate with other people that live here to be able to make that work.
Hey Dad,
So.
it's my game time. Get off the internet. It's my game time.
Yeah.
It
Don't you
reminds
need
me
to make a
every you're
call?
reminding me of like 90s and like the early 2000s. Hang
Dial-up.
up the phone. I need to get online.
Yeah, dude. Oh man, when you're on dial-up, and then nobody could make a call or could call in or call
I've been
out.
trying to call you for the last 2 hours,
God.
man. Your line was busy.
Oh, dude. Man, that was such a weird world. Just and then being like, God, what a weird world. The internet was so cool at that time too, because it was like totally, I mean, for me it was like totally new and totally like this insane world of like anything. And then yeah, to have but you had to sacrifice your phone line. Very strange times. Anyway, so yeah.
I once had to hook up my computer to the internet in Japan via payphone, in the summer because
Oh,
they had the
you
Ethernet
told me
jack.
this
Or,
story one time.
oh my goodness! So here I am using a phone card, popping it in. I'm running, I'm trying to run this in, but I'm trying to hook up my U.S. computer through their Japanese server, and it's in the summer, and here I am in the phone booth just. Sweating buckets. It is just a sauna in this thing, and I'm like, I just need to send this email out because I haven't spoken to anyone on my side of the world in forever. And I'm just, it was just bad because it wasn't a spot for my laptop, and so I'm having to hold my laptop, and it's just like, oh, it was a nightmare. All I can remember is like, oh, was it Cool Hand Luke? He's just in the hot box. And so, like,
Oh.
Oh man! All right. So if anyone, if no one's gonna know what the hell Cool Hand Luke is, but it's a great classic
They should
film.
redo that scene. They should redo that scene, but with you in a Japanese phone booth.
I want to
Oh
leave, but
man.
I can't. I'm tethered. But yeah, it was murder. It took me forever to work it. I think it like over half an hour or something. That was just like the first thing I did is walk
Oh
to the nearest
God.
convenience store and just stand by the magazine rack, just pretend like I'm reading, just so I can have the AC blowing on me.
Oh, dude, you're lucky you didn't pass out.
I
That
was
is
in high
scary,
school.
man.
I had a higher tolerance, but I also came from Georgia, and before that, Guam. So the hot and humid weather was familiar to me. But at this, you know,
You didn't drink as much back then.
Dude,
That was
I
your
was
birthday.
I was so I was I was so so tight. I was a tightwad back then too in Japan, because I'm like, there's no public water fountains anywhere, and you're
Oh
like,
yeah.
and you want me to pay how much for like, you know, for soda? I'm like, no thanks, man, I'm good. I'm like, I'm just gonna like, it's like you're yeah. It was a crazy time. It was neat that you could do that. It sucked that I had to. But
Gosh,
yes, all right.
those are the days.
So outside of Helldivers, you were telling me you were playing something else too.
Yeah, I so because of Helldivers, I got PS Plus. And then I'd been thinking about this game a little bit before Helldivers, but I didn't want to pull the trigger on it really. And then whenever I saw it was on PS Plus, I was like, oh, okay, cool, I get to play it for already having paid for PS Plus. This game is NBA 2K24. If you're sensing a basketball theme here, you know, then you're right on the money. It's also playoff season for NBA, so that's also going on.
April
But
Madness.
April, May, and a little bit of June madness. Anyway, so I was like, you know, I kind of feel like I'm getting back into basketball just in general after many years away. And I was like, I remember playing those old basketball games back in the day. They're pretty fun. I got pretty good at some NCAA a long time ago. And I was like, oh, I want to try this, but I, you know, it's kind of Googling around about it. And then I remembered all the times that Alex Navarro would talk about NBA 2K, whatever year, and especially the problems in recent years. And then I was like, oh, yeah. So anyway, from my experience, I started up NBA 2K24. It was kind of bugging out. It wasn't really working right. I couldn't get any of the modes to operate, but I think it was just because the game was newly downloaded and had to update, and it wasn't really telling me that, which is a problem that they should tell you, hey, we have to do all this, so just chill. You have access to this, not this, and here's why. But it's whatever. So anyway, I did finally get to play just like a play now game, and it's, you know, so I don't have a lot to say about it so far, but it played pretty much the way I kind of remember those games playing, which I literally hadn't played one in almost 20 years. So that's kind of saying something, I guess, that the original ideas were really good, or that they haven't really done much or done enough to it recently, but it worked pretty well. I think there's some things that need to feel a bit more snappy, like there's not a fast break. So like in basketball, fast break, if you don't know much about basketball, when you have when you steal the ball and then everybody has to run to the other side of the court, a lot of times there'll be a guy that steals the ball, then he'll have like an open shot to make a layup, you know, just run to the basket and get a dunk or layup. That's not really possible easily. It's not really easily a thing that you can do in this game because of the way the game is configured. And fast breaks are a big part of basketball. I mean, they happen probably like 4, 5, 10 times a game, you know. It's just going to happen. So it's something that needs to be in this game in a little bit more obvious, accessible way. And it's doesn't seem to be. And I read some of the reviews and they seem to confirm that a little bit. But like the thing that when you start reading about this game online that people don't like is all the microtransactions and all the things that they want you to do. Which is good why it's on PS Plus, because you can kind of get it for free, or you're already paying for PS Plus, so you just get it, and then you can kind of do some microtransactions, I guess, and feel like you haven't been, you know, paid out the nose. I haven't had to do any microtransactions yet, but I haven't played the game very much. People are complaining about the My Career, so you create your own player, and then your player starts out with just terrible stats. And it's like just a really big, it's just a slog to get them to be, to have stats that are not just awful, so they're actually enjoyable to play. So I'm going to do a little bit more of that and let you know how that goes. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like a game that's kind of made to just sort of extract money from you as much as possible. And I think it's because it's a game made more for little kids, or not a lot of little kids, but younger kids in their teens, and you know, young adults, you know to like mid 20s.
And okay, so I think I was gonna say a bunch of college kids are like, take that back.
yeah, but like, but basically like youngish, you know, type people who are more prone demographically, I think, to spend money on microtransactions. And yeah, so I think that's sort of just the issue with it. Just kind of thinking back to Alex Navarro's complaints, we're along those lines, you know, and that seems to be the way that reviews go, is this game's good, but the microtransactions make it really crappy to play, you know, on a minute-to-minute basis or day-to-day basis. But yeah, so I haven't played too much of it. And then with Helldivers and Stellar Blade coming out, I want to probably try to do a little bit more this weekend. Just try to, now that my move is halfway done and on a break, maybe I'll get some time to game a little bit and enjoy that. So, yeah.
All right. For myself, I was trying to get into that new Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy VII. Yeah. So the new part two of the trilogy of Final Fantasy VII. I was really kind of not looking forward to it. I just kind of was curious. By the way the previous game ended, I was like, all right, let's see how this new one happens. And it looks amazing. It's honestly really awesome that way. And it's kind of crazy how it kind of triggers a lot of this nostalgia, because I played a lot of the original Final Fantasy on PlayStation, and just like character dialogue, NPC character dialogue to be specific, you know, going, you know, when I first played the demo, and you're like, you're going, you're on the old Nibelheim, and like I remembered like the innkeeper had two kids, and how one kid would say something and the other kid would repeat after, and I actually was like, that triggered. I'm like, oh wow, yeah, I actually remember this. Or how Cloud talks to Cloud meets his mom, and like the way that conversation is kind of broken up, and I remember it being really jarring because you couldn't. The way the story was told in the original game, it's just they do little time jumps and skips, and they kind of have a weird static. It's not until afterwards you realize kind of you're understanding the way the game is trying to tell its story, because there's gaps in memory, or at least maybe I was just too young at the time when I was originally playing it I wasn't really grasping it. I just like, man, this is kind of hard to understand. But they translated that really well with this new remake. I'm like, yeah, okay, that fits. And because I'm remembering all these old scenes, but now with looking amazing, I'm like, yeah, this is really cool. So the demo was originally what got me to go ahead and get it from the library. And I went ahead and I'm like, you know, so you get into the quote-unquote open world, and you're getting to some of these other cities. And it's really neat. The problem is, they give you, like, this is a common problem with a lot of complaints about this game, is especially early on, they have so many side quests, mini games, other objectives. It's you almost get paralysis for, like, decision making. You know, you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? What should I do? I could just power through the main story or do as much of, you know, like, do what I need to progress the story, and theoretically come back to a lot of this stuff. But then the old RPG player in me is like, but any loot you're going to get isn't going to be worth a darn later on. You want to, like, not knowing what the loot is, but if they're going to give you a weapon, or if they're going to give you a piece of materia, or if they're going to give you, you know, whatever, like, armor, like, that is going to be relevant for this level of the game. It'll carry you to the next place. But by the time you get to somewhere else and you pick up the new stuff and you come back, well, this is just garbage. So then you start, for me, then it's like that, you know, that it triggers that completionist brain. Like, okay, well, now I got to start knocking these out, right? Doing the checklist of things. I'm like, this isn't fun. Like, this is starting to become a chore. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, so I was like, I want to know what happens and I'm really curious. And I'm trying to be vague for anyone who actually is interested but wants to, you know, I'm trying to be spoiler free, so that's why I'm not saying like a lot of specific names or stuff like that. You know, the common joke I've made to you, like off air, is always, yeah, I should just wait until they come out with the third game, which will probably be on the, like, my bet is cross gen PS5. Pro enhanced, and also PS6, right? And they'll come out with the trilogy on PS6, you know, all, you know, visually upgraded, something like that, so you can play 1, 2, and 3 all together. But honestly, I would like to play this game and really get into it. I just feel that the amount of time it really takes to like fully see everything in the game is just too much that I just can't afford it, and that's why I'm not buying the game. You know, I have it, I checked it out from the library, I had a good time, but then I'm looking at stuff coming out. I was hemming and hawing about Stellar Blade for a long time, and the other ones that's coming out, which is should be available on Game Pass, I actually been really busy the last couple days, so I didn't see if it actually dropped. It should have. Was the Ayudin Chronicles, which I've actually been playing. I talked about it a long time ago when it first dropped on Game Pass. Ayudin Chronicles Rising. It was part one of the two game series for Ayudin Chronicles. The makers of Suikoden, one of my favorite, you know, all time best RPGs. Suikoden 1 and 2. 3 was 1 and 2 were on the PlayStation 1. PlayStation 2 had 3, and I believe 4, and they continue to make a few more. It was neat because you can carry your save data and certain information from one game to the next, and then you actually had a special memory card adapter, so you can plug it into the PS2 to carry your PS1 save file information to get extra bonuses and stuff. So the guys who created Suikoden is creating, they're behind Ayudin Chronicles, so it's like a spiritual successor. The first game, Rising, that came out, I believe, like a year ago, available on Game Pass. It is not the RPG you're expecting. It's a side-scrolling, like, kind of Metroidvania style beat 'em up, but it's a little slower. It's like my first Metroidvania is the best way to put it. It's a little more simplistic gameplay, to the point where you get three party members. It's not spoiling anything if you look at the button layout for the game. Like, it is literally jump and the X button for main character, Y button for secondary character, and the B button for third character. That's it. You only have the one button to attack, and then the trigger to do a specialty of theirs, and to interact is right bumper. So everything is with your right hand, and you're only using the left thumbstick. It is that simple of a game. But it's pretty fun as a simple time kill. Like if it's like the best idea of like a simple cell phone game or like a podcast game or something like that. It's like the only problem I have is it's all the dialogue is just text walls. Like just you have a bunch of these mini. The main game itself is really short. It's like 10, 12 hours or something. Now, if you do all the side quests, they're just simple fetch quests. Like a lot of times they'll have like 10 people that need help or like 5 people. And then I just talk to them and like, hey, we need this item and this item. I'm like, well, first guy, boom, I already have it. Like you wanted ore, boom, got it. You need, you're rebuilding this town. I'm like, you need wood. Hey, cool. I already collected that. So I just instantly collect those rewards. And that's kind of satisfying in its own right. But every time someone talks, I was like, I wish they had some speech text, like some voice acting in here. And I'm like, man, that's, I got into this game again because I'm like, I know the main game, the main RPG, that was supposed to release on the 23rd of April. Once again, I've been just really busy this week, so I haven't actually seen if it really did drop. But that one is Eidyan Chronicles, I believe it's like 100 Year War or something like that. 100 Heroes. That was it, 100 Heroes.
100 Heroes.
Yeah, so that was, there's supposed to be something that, like, they originally said some sort of information will transfer over from first game to the second game. So I kind of did it as a, I'm curious about this, and it kind of hits that old nostalgia, but also Eidyan Chronicles Rising is such a simple side-scrolling beat-em-up that it's a fun little story, it's a unique art style, and it's kind of great to do in the background. I literally just been streaming it off of my phone, playing it on that, while watching certain shows. I was just like, all right, cool, I don't need to have, because it is, it's very low stakes in my opinion. And I'm really curious about this, the 100 Heroes that just came out, and I'm hopeful. I haven't seen any reviews. I've kept myself completely in the dark about this. I might come back to you next week and be like, man, I can't believe I wasted all this time playing Rising because Heroes is garbage. That could happen. We'll see. I hope not. But yeah, I'm right now, I haven't beaten the game yet. I'm very close to the end, but also I've been going the 100% achievement. Like I've been doing every side quest that comes by, and they are not hard. It's just more or less just, there's a couple biome areas. In fact, to explain how easy this game is, you can see, there's a quest board, but you can just go into your own quest menu. When you select a quest, get one from them, they'll tell you straight away, you need to find somebody, and you just look. You look in your own menu, look at the quest, say, "Hey, this person is in by the quarry." So, like, okay, cool. You can just fast travel to the quarry. There they are. And then, if you're actually having to go like from the town into the actual like battle area, you go into the woods, and so the woods has the Metroidvania layout. You have a bunch of rooms, so you just look at the map. So you make sure to, under quest, highlight whatever you need. Like you need to collect ore, you need to collect wood, beat a certain bad guy, select it, then just look at the map and you'll see the exclamation point in whatever zone. You're like, okay, so I need to go over 5 rooms down. Cool, that's it. And you can just quickly rush your way there without a problem. It's kind of crazy how simple this is, but it's really nice to be able to not think, I guess is the best way to put it. I'm like, it has a baseline story that's okay. Nothing, it's not a page turner, not yet. I'm waiting for the the third act turn or whatever, like to see. I have a suspicion, but honestly it's just like, this is all just an appetizer, I guess, to the real RPG that's come, that that is 100 Heroes that I'm hoping for. And if it's anything like the old Suikoden games, those games let you collect, they call them 101 Stars of Destiny. So you literally could get 100, 100 extra characters, and you built a fortress of some sort. Like the original game, you had like a castle, and you could easily mess up and not be able to recruit people. But if you did it right, you theoretically can recruit all like 100 people to your area, and they built up your castle for, you know, that's what made the original game of Suikoden so neat. And so the fact that this is a spiritual successor, 100 heroes, I'm like, Roger that. You're right, you already clicked it with my brain. I know exactly if this is anything remotely like the old games. Suikoden 1, if I remember correctly, it was like, well, Suikoden 1, you played, you know, there's a big war going on. Suikoden 2 is like, hey, guess what? What if you were on the other side of the war? And now your hero is now your enemy kind of deal. But, you know, you can, and thanks to your save data, you can kind of carry over some of those characters, their stats, some of that basic information. It wasn't like a crazy amount, but it was just cool to do because nothing really did anything like that back then. And yeah, I just had such a great nostalgia and love for that old franchise. So I've probably talked about this way more than I expected to, but if you really want just something as easy to play on your phone, if you have the Game Pass, you just use the Xbox app. It's like I said, it's not difficult at all. I have myself the PlayStation control. I'm using a old PS4 to play Xbox games. PS4 controller with a like cell phone dock, and it works really stupid well. The only problem is when you're doing a fishing game and it's giving me Xbox buttons prompts like A and B and X and Y, and I'm like, okay, I have to, like, in my brain I'm holding the PlayStation controller, so I'm like, I have to re-remember A, B, you know, as opposed to X and circle. But yeah, no, it's nothing special. I would say probably, I don't know, a 6.5, you know, it's just okay. I mean, yeah, so it's almost like if you wanted to play it just to experience it, but just breeze through the main story, then I wouldn't stop you. I wouldn't say, dude, you know, at the same, you know, especially if you wanted to carry over, but I need to see now that the game's supposed to be out what data carried over. But, you know, it was a busy game. That it was a busy work game that I had for like the last couple of weeks. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to knock this out a little bit here, a little bit there. And, honestly, it's been worth it. I've been entertained, and yeah, that's been about it for what I've been playing. I mean, between the Helldivers, Final Fantasy, and now Yuden Chronicles. But yeah, I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to that 100 heroes, seeing what that's all about. Also now looking towards Stellar Blade. Super excited. But I am giving up on Final Fantasy for now. I will come back to that at a different time in my life. But like I said, it does such a good job with nostalgia. It really does. It's so super awesome.
Yeah, that game runs on nostalgia. Hang on just one second. I'll be right back.
Nick is back. So what you been watching, man?
What have I been watching? Oh yeah. So I started to watch Suzume. And I already forgot the director's name again, but the guy, the same director that did Weathering with You and Your Name, and so
Makoto Shinkai.
Yeah, Makoto Shinkai. Yeah. So I started to watch that, and gosh, so a lot of times I will, you know, get my dinner ready, and then I'll sit down and watch a show. If it's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, not knocking Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it's a great show, or even like a Delicious in Dungeon, or just any other show. I'll sit down and eat and watch the movie or show. You know, because I'm looking down at my food and I'm looking back up, looking down. And it's no big deal. But with this, the animation is really good. It's just really, you know, there's plenty of CG kind of mixed in with the hand-drawn kind of aspects of it. But it's just so good that, like, I've watched like 10 minutes of it on two separate occasions while I eat, and I'm just like, I need to sit down and watch this, like, just by itself without anything but maybe like popcorn or something in my hand, because even just like looking down every once in a while, it just makes me miss the really awesome animation. So that, and I was also kind of, this was early last week whenever I should have been moving or doing more moving. And I wasn't really, but I was still kind of like, I need to do some stuff. So I really wasn't able to dedicate much time to it anyway. So I want to try to watch some more of that, but, it's interesting. The animation is just pretty, pretty incredible. I have to say it's very pretty. Anyway, so I'm gonna try to get to some more of that. And then some more shows as well. Like another one of these that you have on the list. I've been hearing a lot of good things about, so we'll get to that in just a second, or now maybe.
All right. Yeah, I went ahead and saw that at least the first episode of Fallout. I meant to watch the second one right off the bat, but I didn't realize that they just dropped the whole series right away. So surprise, surprise. And I don't have the time for that, so I just went ahead and gave the first episode a shot. And it hits all the right vibes. Like they know how it feels. They know what fans are looking for. You know, they do a lot of things right. And of course, because of that, they're getting rave reviews. Fans are super excited. Granted, certain people are also super irate because it kind of changes the people who love to comb through timelines, you know, kind of like the people who follow Legend of Zelda timelines or something like that, you know. yeah, that gets worse. But no, they start off in 2077, so that's accurate. Like all the franchises start then, and apparently this one takes place after everything. So this is the furthest in all the Fallout series. So past New Vegas, past 4, all that, and yeah, I mean they really do a great job of just nailing it. Now, I'm kind of curious how long they're going to run this thing for. I'm curious how the story is going to play out in the long run, because this has to be a 2-season thing at least. In my, you know, season 1 got such rave reviews and everyone was stoked, so I can't not see them doing another one. But honestly, yeah. And granted, because of that, they also, you know, sales shot up incredibly high. There's going to be the new Fallout 4 patches to the new consoles and stuff like that, and that, you know, which PC players are like, and, you know, but, you know, it's, to be honest, I love Fallout 3. It's probably my second favorite Fallout. Fallout 2 is probably my favorite. You know, it a little more quirky and stuff, but Fallout 1 and 2, you know, I got into very young, and 3 was one of the first games I 100%ed on the 360. Like, I got all the DLC and I just dedicated myself to it. I am one of those people who don't like Fallout New Vegas as much. I just, something about it just, I think the main premise, like, you know, it's just starting off being like, I got shot in the head by this guy, and I read, like, and then the whole mission is I'm going to hunt him down again. I'm like, yeah, but you're a voiceless, you know, like, protagonist. It just didn't, there wasn't as much momentum. At least Fallout 3, like, I gotta find Liam Neeson, my father, you know, like, voice actor in this. And so I'm like, okay, that's cool. Plus, you had the whole vault doors opening, you know, child sequence, which was kind of fun and, you know, quirky. New Vegas did a lot of things right.
It's a good way to tell you the pre-game story while they teach you how to play the game.
Yep.
It's pretty genius, actually, that aspect of it.
And I really did, you know, so the whole New Vegas, I put in like 100 and something hours into that on Steam. And I didn't realize how much time I put into it until after this came out. I just, like, yeah, let me look at New Vegas again. I'm like, yeah, geez, I played way, way too much of that game. And I don't think I really touched any of the DLC. And I never finished the game. It just didn't click with me. And I really tried liking it. Then Fallout 4, I remember that one wasn't in the greatest state. And I had also bought the whole season pass and everything like that at the time. So I barely touched that game, and then I just stepped away from it. So, you know, it's like, it's one of those things that playing, though, watching, you know, Fallout, I'm like, hey, I kind of want to play this game again. And then I think to myself, no, you got so much on your plate. That's a bad idea. But it does a good job about making me really want to play Fallout again. So
it's kind of like, yeah, I haven't seen it yet. My mom watched all of it, and she said it was really good. And then there's a guy at work I think he watched all of it. And he's not really like a video game guy. Oh, but then, yeah, okay. He's not like a super video game guy, but he watched it, said it was good. And he said that he was going to dig out his PS3 and play Fallout 3 again. And I was like, wow, okay, that's kind of weird, but it seems like it's having that effect on people. I was kind of like, I'm making a Fallout show. Okay. I'll, you know, and then I just like, okay, fine. If it's good, then I'll hear about it. If it's not, I don't care. So I wasn't going to pay any more attention to it, but yeah, apparently it's good. I think if I remember right, I think that I saw a news article saying before it came out that it had already been renewed for a second season. I'm pretty sure I saw that. And because when I saw that, I was like, oh, it must be really good if they're renewing it for a season 2 before it even comes out. That basically, I mean, that's basically like the highest praise, because it means that the studio's like, oh yeah, this is a good show. This is going to get ratings. Don't even have to wait until people actually see it before we renew it. So that's kind of, you know, high praise from kind of a lot of different sources, it seems like. So I definitely am going to, you know, on top of everything else I have to do, fast track this show. I mean, I have Prime, but I don't have Super Prime. So I'm going to have to watch with commercials, but I did watch a movie. I don't know if I talk about Saltburn on this podcast? I think I did. Anyway, I watched Saltburn through Amazon Prime, and there was initial commercials, and I did stop it in the middle to go do something else and come back, and I had to watch commercials again when I came back. But besides that, there weren't any commercials. So, you know, if they just do me like that, where there's just commercials at the beginning and then not anymore, I can live with that. I'm excited to kind of look into this and see how good it is, because it seems like it's making waves in the video game world for sure, but also kind of more surprisingly, kind of bigger waves outside of normal video game channels. So that's hopeful.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much this will work for you, but what I actually did was, when I was watching it, I downloaded it to my phone, because I also have just the base Prime. Oh, and yeah. I downloaded the high quality, I guess. It was like a gig for the first episode. The highest quality is like 2 gigs. And I'm like, I don't necessarily need 4K quality, but I'll do the second highest. And so, yeah, it was just a gig. There was a little hitching while watching it still, so it was kind of like, that's kind of weird. It's a little, it feels like lag, but it should just be downloaded to my phone, so I'm not really sure. And my phone's not that old. I've never used the video player for Prime before. But yeah, so I just, you know, maybe try looking into downloading the Prime app and possibly downloading the episodes, and you can maybe catch it a little bit at, like, now that you're no longer being able to play basketball for a little bit, out of the game. Yeah, catching up on. So, yeah,
group reserve. I'm on IR. Yeah, I'll probably download it because I have an iPad. I was just kind of thinking. I was thinking about watching it on my Surface Pro, but I think I'd rather download it to my iPad. It's a little bit larger screen. I don't know, but I'll probably do that. And then I wasn't really thinking about that, but that's probably the best way to watch it, and I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. Well, that's cool. And yeah, hopefully, I'm curious to see what you think of it. I actually want to continue it. time has now become a lot more difficult just to fit things in. And yeah, there's a lot of things, good things to watch out there. A couple new anime that I went ahead and started getting to this season. You know, there's been a lot of good stuff. Some of those season three things I mentioned about, like, so one of them is Konosuba. So they just started dubbing this, which is awesome because I was going to wait for it and I didn't know how long I'd have to wait. But they just started, like, this last week, episode one came out. And it's perfect timing on my part because my wife and I, she, like, I caught her up through season one and two, the movie. And now we're actually on the Megumin side story. So we are watching that. And it's just hilarious because having the movie was really good. And having her, my wife, look at it and just like her reactions to it was pretty stellar. This season three takes place like immediately after. So if you need a refresher, just watch the movie again. And then, you know, just roll right into it. Yeah, it still looks great, still funny as anything, and most definitely going to be one of the highlights of the season. I am touching base back on something else that I watched a little bit of, I want to say what, like a year ago or something. It's been a little bit, but I remember bringing it up on the podcast, Helk. So this is a fantasy setting where... the demon lord has been defeated and they're holding a tournament to find the new demon lord. So the winner, you know, gets to be, you know, the new demon lord. Great. Turns out though, one of the candidates is a human hero. And so that's kind of, the joke because obviously why would a human want to be the new demon lord? And one of the heads that are hosting this, like the main generals as it were, they're freaking out the entire time. So this was the main guy, Helk. He looks like, you might remember this part. He looks like the American cover of Breath of Fire for Super Nintendo. Yeah. He has that blue hair, long hair, chiseled jaw, and the opening theme song hits this organ keynote that like reminds me of like Final Fantasy VI or like, you know, it's a great little nostalgic meal just in the very beginning, then just the first handful of notes. And this has been getting English dubbed now. I watched it. I kind of let it go to the wayside when I was originally airing because I just didn't have time for it. But I'm really enjoying the English dub on this, partially because the you and your thumbs up.
Stupid iPhone.
Yeah, so anyone who's just listening to it, Nick, you know, he accidentally had his thumb up and iPhone that has this little bubble come up because it's like, yay. No, anyways, Helk is doing this thing. Like, the voice acting in it is great for me personally because the main female character, she plays Osaka from the original Azumanga Daioh. And it's like she plays a character who, as the series had progressed, she got dumber and dumber. Like the very first episode, she's like, oh, she's a normal person, she's from Osaka, and she's a little slow. She has a real name, but then everyone just nicknames her Osaka and it sticks. But then like as the episode's gone, like we need her to be just a vacant space, and it's kind of funny. But then having her be explosively angry and cursing and just be this like, you know, raging all the time because it's like thinking everyone's incredibly stupid for like being happy that there's a human hero, you know, in their midst. But yeah, this I've currently watched four episodes now, and like it's surprisingly all right. Like I was not expecting to enjoy it as much, and it's kind of a weird breath of fresh air. I mean, in the sense that. It's not an isekai story. There seems to be an actual underlined actual story to it. It's not just a comedy, but it is a lot of stupid silliness, at least in the front. And now things are getting a little more serious. So we'll see how that progresses. There's a lot of mystery involved, like just a lot of unknowns that, you know, will hopefully get flushed out. So yeah, Helk. if you want a comedy, give it a shot. That's set in a fantasy world. And the last thing I'm going to mention that I'm really been liking is that Kaiju number 8. Two episodes are out so far in English. It's being simulcasted, you know, so when it comes out in Japanese, it's coming out in English. Yeah, super solid. Like, the budget on that one is great. Episode 1, like, the sound, the music, it's awesome. It's just solid all around. I'm liking it. I know it's got a lot of hype beforehand. So, but usually when something gets that hyped, I usually come into it very skeptical. But then again, it's a kaiju thing, so I'm okay with it.
Well, I was not immediately captivated by the manga. Maybe it was just the mood I was in, but I just remember being like, feel like this is not doing anything particularly new or interesting. But it's a kind of idea that might work better in full color, fully animated with enough money thrown behind it, where it's like, okay, if we can throw some money behind this, it will be really cool. So maybe it'll shine more. If it's watch that episode, let me know if it's still good, and I might give it a try.
Yeah, because I'm currently two episodes into it right now, and I've been enjoying the crap out of it. The things I like about it, though, I mean, the actual, as far as story front goes, real quick lowdown is, you know, set in alternate world Japan, modern day, where kaiju, you know, giant monster creatures invading is common enough that they have, like, a special task force to deal with them. There's a giant lizard, you know, like, I don't know, 12 foot tall, something lizard monster, like, crawling along, and these soldiers jump out of the helicopters and just completely, like, land unassisted onto, like, rooftops. And you're like, all right, cool, power suits or something, genetic enhancement or power suits, one of the two. And, you know, they have heavy weapon, you know, like 50 cal sniper rifle equivalents or something, and they shoot at it, and it just explodes into a bloody mess. And then the next scene is the cleanup crew, and that's where your main character is. He's the mate. He's just a member of the cleanup crew who has to, you know, dismember and dissect the these kaiju and get disposed of them and do whatever. I kind of like the fact that they face the logistics of that, because there's an old manga and anime called Gun Parade March, where it was like something similar, where there's monsters, kind of a invading force, and we're losing ground, but they have mechs to deal with them. And you see occasionally, like, side characters, as they're unloading their machine guns, and the shell casings are, like, hit the awning of a residential roof. The hot casing melts the awning, and then you're seeing them, like, the supply team having to load up, clean up casings after the fact, or how they're bringing in extra ammunition. And I kind of like those small little details when you're not everything is just, you know, the main hero, the Flash. There's an aftermath, there's a setup process. And so the fact that, like, yeah, the main character, he's part of the cleanup crew, you know, I'm like, that's kind of funny. He's kind of washed out, you know, has been, he wanted to be part of the military force, and he kind of gave up on it. He never made it, and so that he has a new recruit joining the cleaning crew, whose goal is to join said task force. And some hilarity ensues, and some, you know, suspense. Episode 1 ends at a really good little joking cliffhanger, and it picks up right away episode 2, like, full running. And yeah, so I think it's going to be an interesting show. I'm hopeful for it. I did remember you mentioning how you weren't so hot on the manga. But once again, I like kaiju stuff, so I'm a little bit more of a sucker for it. I've always been a Godzilla fan. So it's more my cup of tea. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, there seems to be enough creativity behind this. And I'm like, okay, cool. And these are more like the power suits are something along the lines of kind of like Gantz, you know, opposed to they're like a, they're like a skin tight latex kind of suit, with maybe some cybernetics, opposed to an exoskeleton suit or something like the book of like Starship Troopers or something like that. So they seem to be more of that kind of, you know, EVA plug suit kind of deal, but with, you know, enhancements. So that's why Gantz, I think, is the best correlation. They finally get to show it in episode 2. Someone picks up a car and tosses it. And so you're like, okay, that explains it, you know, like that's kind of the gist and how they can survive a, you know, helicopter jump, you know, unassisted. So,
yeah.
And it makes it look really cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like we can do something cool and show you what this, explain to you the rules of this suit, essentially what it can do, so that we can then go off and do more or less stuff later. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I people have been hyped for it. It's a popular series, and it's has every reason. It has every reason to do well. I definitely hope it's good or stays good.
Yeah, for sure. But all right. Well, that is, you know, the few things that I've been watching for anime, and I recommend all three of them. So, all right. Well, if you made it this far, we thank you. And, you know, Nick, what are the words of wisdom you have for our folks today?
Start packing. Even if you're not sure when you're going to move or if you're ever going to move again, just start packing. If you think this is my forever home, I don't care. Just start packing today. And that thing that you think that you're going to need between now and when you move, you don't. Just pack it. Put it in a box.
All right. My words of wisdom on that front are, especially if you move a lot, like every couple of years you're upgrading apartments or whatever, don't unpack. Just, you already have it in boxes. Leave them in boxes. Don't ever open them. Sometimes you can just leave them taped the entire time, and that way you can just load them up the next time. I have boxes
that's like the meme of the guy. It's like the meme of the guy going like, "You never have to pack if you never unpack."
Yeah, I've
or the floating brain, like they're like the brain enhancement, you know, like yeah.
And the other thing is, honestly, you don't need that anymore. It's okay to get rid of it. It really is. Especially if that box you haven't opened, unless if it is like, even if it's old childhood stuff, like chances are it's safe to get rid of. It really is. And I'm unfortunately notorious for not unpacking, because it's like, yeah, you know, it's just, I just have plenty of boxes in storage or in certain spots. I mean, like, yeah, I really need to get rid of it. In one form or another. But one day you might actually need it. Or when it does happen, be like, you know what? I have that. Give me a moment. And you come back like, the entire time of me holding this for years in a box is worth it because of this one instance.
I win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, collecting, successful. Not hoarding. You're collecting it. Just like it's not it's not a doll. It's an action figure. But yes.
I have literally like probably like 20, 30 USB-C cords of different lengths and quality from all the different things that I've bought over the years that come with a tiny little one or a longer one or this one. And I have almost as many USB-C cords, but it's just stupid.
For sure. Most definitely. If you know you're going to move 2 months in advance, start packing immediately. Whittle your stuff down. 4 weeks out, have the bare bones. Literally have what you need for a solid week, and that's it, at best. You know? And then when you procrastinate because you're too busy watching TV and you're like, I'll get to it later, just remember, garbage bags are your friends. Throw everything into garbage bags. They are flexible. They will throw on top of all the stuff in your moving, you know, like your moving box truck. Just chuck it, and it'll just mold around all the furniture. That's fine. But yes. So, hopefully won't have to be doing too much moving in your future. But if you heed our words of advice, you might be doing just a little bit better. All right. Well, thanks, y'all, for sticking around. This has been ADP episode 73. Until next time, y'all take it easy.
Bye.